morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Look to the Lord in prayer, and before I pray, I want to say have a blessed new year. Those who've been here on the 31st, and those who are here, and those who listen over the internet and radio, may God richly bless you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And as we look this new year, O Father, we pray that this verse be a reality in our life. That this promise, that they shall run and not be weary, will be ours. And that each one of us may run the race as you put the race in front of us. But Father, as we do so, let us not be weary, because you who designed the race for each one of us also designed the victory, and we thank you, Father. Lord, we are reminded of those who we love, and Loretta Forrest is in our heart as a church body. She's confined to bed because of cancer. But even in this town, I have a lady telling me, she said, oh, I know this lady, Loretta Forrest. And she talks about the joy and the peace and the testimony of this lady called Loretta Forrest. Lord, thank you that we know her for years. Thank you that you put to bed one of your best child so that she can shine from that bed. Thank you for her family who care for her. And thank you that we as a church have a privilege to have a treasure like that. Lord, we are thankful that Michelle DeLillo is here with us today. And we are so glad that the surgery is over and now the recovery. And I know that each day you will give her patience and you will give her the strength to carry on. We look in the TV, Lord, and we see Indonesia in Asia under a strain. And Father, you are the God of earthquake. You are the God of wind and fire. And so we pray that you help us in this calamity to trust your mercy, which never ends, and your power, which in Jesus Christ steals the storm and raises the dead. And so may the people of Indonesia, those who believe in you, still have trust that your mercy will continue on them. Lord, we have one of our own going back into service, Ryan Sumera. And we know how difficult at this time is service. And so, Father, we pray that the umbrella of your protection be upon his life. We pray for his family, that they be trusting you for every day and every hour, so that Ryan may shine for you in the service of the best army of the world, the United States of America. We thank you, Father, that we have one of us representing our church in such a magnificent place. Lord, we look forward to the studies during these years, and we look forward to the counsel of your word, and we are grateful that we have missionaries across the world. And so we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, who are in Siberia at 10 degrees below zero, for Carol and Ruth Knott, already back with his family. Lord, thank you for this man. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benalmadena in Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Arbeldaño in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, now on the motorsport ministry, and Martha Poretti with the drug addicts in Argentina. Thank you, Father. And give us the vision to add one more missionary this year, that we may have another family testifying of the Lord Jesus. And give us that vision that every year we should have a new missionary, so that we preach the gospel here and there, wherever they are. Thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful God and provide for our church in abundance. Thank you for the hearts of your people in giving. And so give us direction and wisdom and the use of the money that is provided for the church, so that God will get the glory. So bless the offering again, and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Oh, sin which we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away?
Thank you, choir. Will you take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 708. We will be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from the henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that by your grace alone we can come before you in prayer and worship. We thank you that this is made possible by the obedience and the one-time sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our great High Priest who sits at your right hand, constantly making intercession for us. We thank you for uniting us with him through faith, having cleansed us through the offering of his body. Give us strength, we pray, to live this reality by our obedience. We pray now that you would bless and guide our teacher and Pastor Gabriel Otero as he comes to expose the truths of your word. Give us understanding that we may comprehend the boundlessness of your grace. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and audio tape and CD, especially for those who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that they might believe the gospel and be saved from judgment and condemnation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you so much, my brother, and thank you for your faithfulness and reading the scripture. Today, then, I will call your attention to Hebrews chapter 10. And you are there in Hebrews chapter 10 already. I want to share with you on the Lord's Supper three things. First, a report from the scripture. What the scripture has to say about the Lord's Supper. A report from the scripture. Then, as we look closely to Hebrews 10, the requirements. Why this Jesus? Why has to be Jesus' sacrifice only? Why? And then the rationale of the scripture. How does the scripture reason and help you to understand why has to be Jesus and not somebody else? All right? So it's going to be all about Jesus. Cannot be bad, don't we? All about Jesus. Let's look on it. The report from the scripture. Put one hand in Hebrews and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, page 676. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians 11, 24, 25, page 676. I want to read the scripture. This is the moment where Paul explained the church of Corinth after admonishing the church of Corinth in chapter 10 for taking very lightly the Lord's Supper and make a mockery of the Lord's Supper. Now he's going to explain what he learned from the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 24, and when, talking about Jesus, when he had given thanks, he break it. He took the bread and he gave thanks, he break it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus wanted the disciples and the church to remember that he gave us his body. Then verse 25 said, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and the word he took is added, but it's obvious. He took the cup when he had stopped saying these words, this cup, and he lifted up the cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Well, you can change the word testament for the word covenant. This is the new contract. You remember the old contract? What kind of blood was there? The blood of the bulls and calves and all these and the doves that the people brought. He said, no longer that. This is the new covenant, he said, in my blood. These do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the Lord's Supper, the report from the scripture is that the Lord's Supper is a remembrance of Christ. What kind of remembrance? The remembrance of his sacrifice. He gave his body, then he gave his blood. And if you give all your blood, you give your life. Is that right? You're dead. You give your life. So I want to say to you, this is the beauty of the Lord's Supper. As simple, as no complicated, as you read it right here in the scripture, Jesus said, this bread that you people want to participate is the broken body of the Lord Jesus, symbolizing to you as you take it, the Lord Jesus has a body and he put it for me on the cross. And then when you drink the fruit of the vine, then he said, the Lord Jesus has blood and he gave us his blood. This is the very symbol of his blood that he gave on that cross. I remember today, and I want you to remember today, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. I want to add one word. as the bulletin entitled my sermon. I want you to remember the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, which make it about any other sacrifice any man have done or will do. So the report of the scripture, very simple. When somebody said to you, what do you people do there on the first Sunday? Some churches do it every Sunday. What do you do? So we are remembering that Jesus Christ died and rose again. We're remembering that. Now, let's go back to the Bible, to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and see the requirements of the scripture. Why Jesus? So we saw the report from the scripture. We need to remember the Lord Jesus. He gave us his life, his body and his blood for us. Now we're going to see the requirements of the scripture. Why the Lord Jesus and no Peter? Why the Lord Jesus and no Paul? Why the Lord Jesus and no Stephen? Remember, he died as a martyr. Stephen, remember, you read in Acts 7, he was a stone for the gospel's sake. Why? That is not a qualification. Hebrews chapter 10 explains it. And I go a few verses with you as the time allowed me to go over this scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 1. The Old Testament sacrifice did not make the worshipers perfect. The Old Testament sacrifice, the bulls that Leviticus 1 talks about, the offering of those wonderful things to God, do not make the worshiper, you, perfect. Let's look on it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Since the law, or for the law, but you can put the word, since the law, having a shadow, or a shadow can be changed for the word reflection. Since the law has a reflection of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, which they offer year by year, continually, make the comers unto perfect. I think the King James has done an excellent job in explaining this. The Old Testament sacrifice, by bringing the worshipers, by bringing this offering, they never reach perfection, so they don't have to do it anymore. Because when you move yourself on and you do a sacrifice, should be sufficient. But you saw what verse 1 says? It says, offer year by year. Now that brings memory to the book of Leviticus, don't we? And every year, the people will bring the offering, and once a year, the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies, and first praying for himself, and then offering the offering of the people. And if everything was in order and clean, he will come out and the people will be forgiven. Just for 1 year. And the next year they have to do it again and again and again. So the Old Testament sacrifice did not make the worshipers perfect. God was satisfied because he ordered that. As a shadow. Remember what we read? That's another good word. A reflection. It's just a shadow is the perfect word. A shadow of the things to come. A shadow is not the real thing. And so God said, now here is what it is. And God did this so that when Jesus Christ come, the Jewish people should have no doubt whatsoever that this was the Messiah. Because God has given information about how the Messiah will operate and do things. No wonder Paul said in Romans 2:1, they are without excuse. I feel sorry for the Jewish people. They are without excuse. Chapter 10, verse 1, then, the sacrifice do not, the Old Testament sacrifice, do not make the worship perfect. Now, do you think then I was explaining to a fellow here in town. Do you think then that a sacrifice ordered by God, because the Old Testament sacrifice was a sacrifice ordered by God, you think then that I today will do a sacrifice for God and be accepted? Well, there is no order by God whatsoever. So anything you do is not going to be accepted. Repeating prayers, for example. You can repeat prayer after prayer after prayer. God's no interest in that. In my time in Brazil, people will go on their knees to a statue that was placed, the Cristo Redentor, right there on the top of Brazil, like that. And people will go, that statue was placed there to picture Christ. But you know how people are? People will go over there on their knees, thinking if they go 20 times, they will be accepted. Listen, if the Old Testament sacrifice ordered by God, written by God, is not complete, nothing you will do will be complete. That's one thing we learn. Verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 10, the Old Testament sacrifice were a remembrance of sin, not a remembrance of it taken away. Look at verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. See, the sacrifice of the Old Testament reminds you that you are a sinner. Wow. In case you forgot, God said, I want you to know you're a sinner. There was no solution to it. Now, I want you to, it's not in my sermon, but it just came to my mind, just to release you Christians, put one hand in Hebrew and go with me to John 1:29. John Gospel 1:29. Now, when the cousin of the Lord Jesus see Jesus, and he say it twice in John 1:29. When he see Jesus, the Bible said the next day, John see Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which remembers sin. No, what the Bible said? Who take away sin. Do you see the difference between one sacrifice and the other? Jesus take away sin. The Old Testament sacrifice point to you saying you are a sinner. A remembrance of sin. So the Old Testament sacrifice was not perfect. It was not a complete thing. And the Old Testament sacrifice, going back to Hebrews chapter 10, remind us that the Old Testament sacrifice bring into our mind, I am a sinner. When I'm in Christ, means I am saved. That's different. I was a sinner. And now no longer I'm a sinner. From God's point of view. You ask my wife and she said, oh yeah, he has this sin, this sin. You know, she give you a list of my sins. But and I don't give you a list of her sins. And you understand. When God looks to you, if you are in Christ, he sees you are perfect. Great. Verse 1, the Old Testament sacrifice did not make the worship perfect. Verse 3, the Old Testament sacrifice with a remembrance of sin, no, a takeaway of sin. And verse 8 to 12, Christ became our mediator, sacrifice acceptable to God. So I want to read it again. Hebrews 10, verse 8. Listen carefully how the scripture describes this. About when he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hastened a pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, talking about Jesus, O God. He taketh away the first, take away the first contract with God, and may establish the second. When Jesus came in, he took away the first covenant, the first will with God, and now he makes a new will with God. Verse 9, then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, listen carefully to this, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. The Old Testament, remember what we read in verse 1? Every year. When you talk about Jesus' sacrifice that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, did you remember me? You don't do the sacrifice of Christ. You remember Christ. Why? Because his sacrifice, according to verse 10, is once for all. Look at verse 11. He's adding bigger stuff here, big theology. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. Is that clear? The Old Testament can never take away sin. You know what the Bible called this? Another study. The Bible called the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the Old Testament covers sin. Covers sin temporarily. Never take it away. Verse 12. But this man, wow, I like that. When the Bible called Jesus this man, this perfect man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, one sacrifice for many sins, plural, you see that, plural, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, where he is now, he sat down at the right hand of God. Second time the Bible say that, first time is in Hebrews chapter 1. Fantastic. Christ became our mediator, acceptable sacrifice. He covered all the bases. He became the sacrifice. He became the high priest, and he became the intercessor. He covered all the bases. There is nothing more to cover. So he's accepted, and you are accepted, and we are all covered by Christ. That's why in any Protestant church, you don't have Jesus Christ hanging on a cross here like this. Because he's not there. What the Bible said? He's at the right hand of God in heaven. That's the only condition for a sacrifice to be accepted. You need to go to heaven. And no one of those bulls of the Old Testament went to heaven. They were just a picture on. No anything the people did in the Old Testament accomplished anything for anybody except that they were doing the word of God at that particular time and that God covered their sin. But now we have Christ. So I wrote about 17 things, but let me share three things. Three things. At least I have the time for three things to enjoy this year. You have Jesus? If you have Jesus Christ, now I tell you this. I don't mean if you eat Jesus. I mean if you receive Jesus. If you have received Jesus, this is yours. And I want to share it with you. The rationale of the scripture. Number one, when Christ offered himself, he became a high priest. You are in Hebrews 10. Move your Bible back to Hebrews 4, please. Verse 14 and 15, page 705. Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15. Christ became our high priest. The Bible says, since in Jesus, the Son of God, we have the superior, the supreme high priest who has gone through the highest heaven, we must hold firm to our profession of faith. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Remember in Hebrews they call Jesus man. So he went through everything you and I go through. So no wonder verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Listen to these words. Yet without sin. That's Jesus.
He's a high priest. Remember the condition of the book of Leviticus? I refresh your memory. In order to go to the high place, you go to the high place in the tabernacle, and you pray. And you pray and confess your sin. Now watch out when you open those curtains and you go to the Holy of Holies, because if you have one sin, you're dead. How can those priests have no sin? Well, they confess it. And they walk in. And when they walk in, God accepted. Now, that's what Jesus did. He offered his sacrifice, and he is at the right hand of God. He was accepted. The Old Testament is a shadow, is a picture, that if the high priest is accepted, he will not die. The Lord Jesus Christ died once for all. Now is at the right hand of God. He has been accepted. He is a high priest. Now remember, I know the young people remember this. A prophet speaks on behalf of God to the people. But a priest speaks on behalf of the people to God. And now we have an intercessor. I'm going to say this as kind as I can, but our intercessor is not a man, is not a woman, is the Lord Jesus. Had nothing to do with male or female, is the Lord Jesus. Our intercessor is not a holy man who has lived a holy life. Now, holy people who live a holy life are really a benefit to all of us. Yes, indeed. Because we get the flavor of the presence of God. But we don't pray through them. We pray through the high. You need a high priest. Authorized, sealed, and stamped, not by a church, but by God. And the Bible said, right here in verse 14, this, he said he was without sin. So Christ became a high priest. We remember that. We remember Christ today. Remember, he became a high priest. Please, dear beloved, don't pray in the name of nobody except in the name of a high priest, the Lord Jesus, because your prayers will not be accepted unless it's in the name of Jesus. Secondly, Christ became our trial lawyer. I have in my lifetime experience to talk to some trial lawyers. They're tough. And you saw them on television. They are cynic. They are really tough. You saw in the latest trial with that little boy, Scott, his lawyer, you know, like he's going to kill everybody. All right. Well, Christ became our trial lawyer. Well, I don't blame Christ, because we sin, don't we? We were dead in sin. Dead in sin. And God has to bring your name into the presence of God and said, "He's a good guy." And God said, "How do you know?" "I died for him." Let's go. 1 John chapter 2. Look at that. 1 John chapter 2, page 717. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And the Spanish Bible said, lawyer. That's what I use the word lawyer. Paracleto is the Greek word, which means, para means beside. You know, you go to court, if you're going to stand before the judge, you can. America followed the book of Romans in court. You cannot stand before the judge, you are not worthy. So your lawyer stands at your right hand, speaking to you on behalf of you. That is called in Greek, para, beside, kleto, speaker. All right, so here is what it is. John 2, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, he was not speaking to little children, literally, we will say, my dear. My little children, said the scripture, I am writing these to prevent you, he said very clear, from sinning. I want you not to sin. But if anyone does sin, if anyone have produced sin in his life, we have a trial lawyer with the Father. And who is it? Jesus Christ. And look at his credential, the license from New York, the righteous one. That license, the righteous one, you know, a trial lawyer cannot perform only in his county. And then he has to renew his license in another county. And if he goes to another state, he has to go all over to the board and get another license. That righteous one license goes everywhere, any place in the whole universe. a universal license. He said, I write this book of John so that you do not sin. But if you, my beloved, have sinned, don't run to any priest or anybody else. Just run to Jesus because he got the credentials. Some people are confused. We Protestants believe that we don't go to a father or to a pastor to confess our sin. We don't have anything against anybody talking to us and confessing sin and praying together. But if you do that to redeem yourself, don't do it. If you do that to get help, you go to a priest or to a pastor, say, I need help. I have done this, and I need help. That's one thing. But if you go over there to get absolution of your sin, you are a dead man or a dead woman. Because the only person that can give you absolution is the Lord Jesus. He's a trial lawyer. Well, how do I know Jesus? So Jesus is going to be busy like that? Well, you're in John? All right, let's go to Romans 8:34, page 666. I don't like that number, but that's what the number is. Page 666, Romans 8 and verse 34. And see Jesus work. That's why in the Lord's Supper, we remember Jesus. Who is the one who condemned us? It's at Romans 8:34. It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also keep on, say the original language, present active indicative form, keep on making intercession for us. Christ is the intercessor. And so how beautiful is this picture, the rationality of the scripture. Christ has become a high priest. Don't run to anybody. A church may have a priest, a church may have a pastor. That is incidental. But don't look to those people as the one who is your intercessor. Because your intercessor, your lawyer before God, is Christ Jesus. What a pastor or a priest will do is bring you to Christ. If he does this, that's good. If he doesn't, and he absolves you for whatever reason, he's wrong. He's dead wrong, according to the scripture. And so I want you to know that you have a lawyer free of charge. Free of charge. The name of that lawyer is the Lord Jesus. We have time for one more. Christ is our high priest. Christ is our trial lawyer. And I will say Christ has become, how many of you, you know the Golden Gate. It's not spectacular. The Golden Gate is much better than New York Bridge, I tell you. Or New Jersey Bridge, much, much better. All right. You go to the Golden Gate, and whatever side of the Golden Gate you are, is spectacular. All right. It's a bridge that takes the Spanish fortress to the American garrison together, all put it together. You know the story of that area dominated by Spanish for so long and then conquered by the American. And so that bridge united both sides of the peninsula. Well, Christ Jesus is that bridge between man and God. Go to Romans chapter 5. You're in Romans 4, Romans 5, and verse 1. Christ became the bridge between God and man. Romans 5, 1. So then, now that we have been justified by faith, now that we're believers, we have been justified by faith. We are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word through means from one end to the other end, from one side to the other side, from the beginning to the end, from the first to the last. We are at peace with God. My brother and my sister, you maybe have difficulties, you maybe have troubles in your own heart, but I guarantee this to you, go to Christ because you are at peace with God, not because of what you have done or will do, because of what Christ has done. Our peace with God is never dependable on our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should show the work of Christ in our life. But if we fail, don't be afraid to go to God, because you are justified and you are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come and confess to God, and when you come and tell God your failures, and you want rehabilitation and more vitamins to keep on in the ministry, God will give it to you through Christ Jesus. It's fantastic. Our salvation is not a reward of our performance. Our salvation is based only on the work of one person who performed it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this beautiful verse tells me, in a wonderful way, that from one end to the other, I have peace with God, not for what I'm doing. I have peace with God because of what Christ did. He died for me. Now, you may be not at peace because you have sinned. That's a different story altogether. That's another topic. But concerning sanctification, concerning life with God, concerning relaxing with God, you don't have to worry about anything you have done or dream or do. You have to only look to Jesus. He did it all, and I want to hold to Him until I'm well, because He is the one who is accepted to God. Jesus Christ is everything. Don't try to perform anything, to gain anything. He did it all. I don't know how to voice it to you. He did it all. I just read a letter from a guy named Jolly who hates the Jewish people. He's mistaken. He's mistaken. We are not blessed by a Jew. We are blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ who came from the Jewish race. What's the problem? He could come from the Gentiles, but God chose the Jewish people to be born. Jesus Christ is all. It's not your church. It's not your pastor or your priest. It's Jesus. We need to focus that again. And when you are depressed, when you are mentally disturbed, just go to the scripture and read the passage on Jesus. That will restore you. And see what God has done with Jesus. How pleased is God with Jesus. And thank God that you know Him directly, person to person, not through anybody else, through the scripture. Christ, the perfect sacrifice. So I'm going to put the whole thing in a nutshell in one text of the scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, page 681. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Here's a summary of everything. See, I don't want you to trust me. I want you to trust the scripture. Look at what the scripture says. And all things are of God. Even the earthquake there in Indonesia. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. See, God, remember, said, I'm going to have people. But I'm going to have people for me, and I'm going to get it. God has reconciled us to Himself. Through whom? Through the Roman Catholic Church, through the Protestant Church, through the Muslim Church. No, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only avenue. I know people don't like that. I have been told at the end of one of the services here in church, when you're going to stop about speaking about Jesus, I can't. If I stop speaking about Jesus, we better go home and play golf or eat enchiladas, whatever you like it. Because really, if it is not Jesus, there is no need to be here. Our church is very simple. We put all our fingers forward, pointing to Jesus. He is the one. He is the one. You can do nothing. That hurts. That hurts. Mankind want to do something. You know, those people who give a lot of money, you know, I'm not proud of them. They do this to show up how good they are. They're no good. If they are not in Christ Jesus, they're going to be burned in hell. You have to be in Christ Jesus. It's through Christ, my friend. is through Christ. And where do I get Christ? Right here in the scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ. You read it right here in the scripture. And when you read it, you put it together, and one day, at God's pleasure, at God's time, you will read it and say, wow, this is good. And you will try to explain it to somebody else that was like you before, and they don't understand it. Don't panic. That's the way it is. We're going to remember today the Lord Jesus. And the point that I want you to remember as we go through the Lord's Supper, He is the perfect sacrifice. As I take the bread, I take His body. This is the perfect body. As I take the grapefruit, this is the perfect blood of Christ. There is no other. Now, this one, not, but the one on the cross. I'm memorizing, remembering that my God has sent the man Jesus for me. Individually. And if you do that, and if you do that through the year, day in and day out, you will never feel depressed. You will feel tired, sometimes confused, and sometimes upset, but never depressed, because the goal of your life to be in heaven is done. Doesn't matter what trial you have, doesn't matter what thoughts run into your mind, your place in heaven is done by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are the perfect sacrifice. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. I pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we all may be aware again and again. I know that we know this, but sometimes we need to be aware and aware again. That maybe I need somebody to pray with me. Maybe I need somebody to listen to me. But the main thing is there is someone who already forgave me and is seeing me in heaven as a perfect individual. Whether I'm a woman or a man, we are one with Christ Jesus and then one with God. So I have only one word. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and never as they said, methought the voice of angels from heaven and so rare. Is the sorrow once again the dream was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would enter, no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine.
Gifted people who gather together to remember Christ.